My friends, Jacob's here one more time. Happy Friday the 13th for you. You like when I do that with my body? Makes me feel like I'm all fired up, because I am fired up, because today's a weird day. Friday the 13th is connected to all sorts of crazy things, like the Knights Templar. That was like a bad day for them. Not just that, there's like Nordic mythology. Of course, there's Jason, Crystal Lake, you know, it's all about zombies. Interesting. You think that the last show that I just did on Luigi Mangione, you think that AI Frankenstein apocalypse that's coming to healthcare, you think that that's weird? Wait till I share what I got to share with you today. There's a lot of crazy things happening, and it's all connected. Go figure, huh? So smash that like button. Do me a favor, will you? Share the channel around. And if you're not subscribed, give me a chance. What does it take? You know, you hit the subscribe button, you make sure you're notified, check the bell for notifications, follow me also on X, JacobIsrael71. Come on, it's meatball time, baby, which you can get this in the description of the video, because I'm 70% funded by all of you. So if you want to support the channel, that's a great way to do it, because there are things that are happening that a lot of people aren't paying attention to and noticing. You probably heard about the Trumpster, President Donald Trump, the biblical judge and king himself that is set to take over everything. He was honored with the cover of Time Magazine, Person of the Year. A lot of people were quick to point out that little horn that he had, and they're like, oh, it's the bad guy, it's the Antichrist, not knowing a darn thing about Scripture. But there's an interesting tie-in here that you're going to find is directly linked to Scripture, because there are two stories playing out. It's time to choose what story you want. Just like there were two sets of cicadas back in the day when that eclipse went, the 13-year cycle and the 17-year cycle. If you're new to the channel, we've learned in past shows that the number 13, Friday the 13th, is the death card. Not such a great card to have, but 17, on the other hand, is about renewal, it's about resurrection, if you will. It's a picture of two sets of individuals that come up and rise up at the end, the wheat and the tares. And the threshing of the wheat is something that's going on. But Donald Trump was awarded with this cover, and to celebrate that, at 6:30 in the morning yesterday, he got to ring the bell. That's right. You can ring my bell, ring my bell, he rang the bell. This is why I don't have more subscribers. But ringing the bell is something that I've been talking about for a long time, and it's ironic that he did this on 12-12, because of course we just had the Notre Dame cathedrals, the bells going off and everything else. But you know what's interesting? And I believe I was the first, I want to pat myself on the back for this one. I think I was the first to notice that the setup that they had for him to ring the bell at 6:30 in the morning Eastern Standard Time, it looked very much like the Last Supper. I mean, you tell me, looking at that right there, I mean, come on, come on, come on. Looks like the Last Supper. It looks, even the colors are the same. It's very strange, right? But you know what's stranger? I said that Trump would be ringing the bell a while ago, a couple of years ago. In fact, it was 2 years, 10 months, 3 weeks and 3 days, you got that 13 in there again. And guess what? What I titled this thing. It was all about, guess what? It was all about Trump ringing the Undertaker's bell. Boom. Right? The Undertaker's bell that he was going out for a while, and he was entering these rallies with the Undertaker's gong. The bell that rang. The Undertaker, he rings for death. Death. And that's 13. That's the death card. But what's weird about this is that, I mean, I called it the Last Trumper. And now that's exactly kind of what's playing out in the world. You got the same thing. I mean, what are the odds, right? This is what I call, if you're new, I call them coinky-dinky-doos. And on this channel, we have a lot of them, right? We get a lot of them. We got a lot. You would think that more people would take notice and would maybe, you know, get excited and say, okay, God's in charge here. But you know what happens at the Last Supper? Friday the 13th. Betrayed by a kiss. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all connected. Everything's connected. Even Barbie. Malibu Barbie, that is. You're saying, well, how is that possible? Well, you know what? Last night I'm talking to the Dan, and I told her that I warned everybody, and I said, oh, the fires are lit. Remember, because we talked about the biblical judge Samson, and that the fire was going to come, and the fire was lit, and the assassin that carried the light, the fire of the gods, Prometheus, at the Olympics. And so I said, here's this trend that we see. And I said, oh, you're going to start hearing about fires everywhere. And what are we doing right now? We're hearing about the fires in Malibu. And now why would I connect that with Malibu Barbie and the Barbie movie? Well, because I remember that we've been just talking about Grimace on the last show. This is a while ago I did all this. 17 months before the fires in Malibu broke out everywhere was the Barbie movie. And what's weird about this Barbie movie was also there was a little weirdness with the map that was behind Barbie. Take a look at that. Well, look at what says the United States. And if you take a look at it, you don't see no Mexico, you don't see no Canada. So it's interesting that Barbie movie comes out and you have this new map of the world behind Barbie. The map doesn't have any room for Mexico or Canada. It's almost like Barbie knows that the Trumpster's here now. The United States is going to basically swallow up Mexico and swallow up Canada and just make them states. I mean, this is something he's talking about. It's weird. But there was a scene in the Barbie movie, the Malibu Barbie scene, where Ken is singing the Barbie, and guess what he's singing? He's singing a Matchbox 20 song, Matches Light Fires. And then when the camera pulls back, you see all of these little bonfires lining the Malibu coast. Barbie told us that fires were coming, and we didn't listen. But I said that we were going to see some fires, and now fires are here. So I wouldn't doubt that we see some other stuff somewhere else. We're seeing a lot of weird things in the skies. All of these drones. These drones, or these alien craft, or whatever they are. I did a couple of shows about that. If you want, check it out right there. Did it with Rex Barrett. These are awesome shows. They were awesome shows. We're ahead of our time. And then we told everybody what was going to happen. We said we were going to start to see more and more and more, and then boom, that's what happens. I had a dream about this 3 months exactly from when this drone that was just spotted over New Jersey, it's spraying stuff now. Now they're saying that these alien craft, whatever they are, right? They could be AI craft. AI, I think, is pretty much taken over anyway. It is what it is. This is just something that humans, I guess, go through at this point in the story. Not a big deal, all right? Have faith in more. Do good in the world, you're going to be okay. But this drones, it's like spraying stuff. And what was weird was I had a dream, and in the dream, there were like all of these like alien craft, and they looked like shining helium balloons, like this right here, and they were appearing everywhere, and then they started at one point spraying stuff. I had this dream 3 months exactly from when this video comes out. That's weird. You know what three months is? 13 weeks. 13! Here's the interesting thing. Friday the 13th happens after the last Trumper, the Last Supper, where he's ringing the bell. Ringing the bell is a big deal. Dinner! Right? Dinner for the aliens. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. But ringing the bell is an important thing. And so when I see the last Trumper playing out, and I say, oh my goodness, I did that show. And then here it is. I think, oh, there you go, another quinky-dinky-doo. And that means that maybe a betrayal is coming. A betrayal that is connected to Friday the 13th. That's Loki. And you'll see in the background, you'll see that's that Judas kiss. Believe it or not, these stories are intertwined, and they have to do with the number 13. The number 13, you know, Taylor Swift's favorite number. And that's spooky too. Especially since Jason from Friday the 13th is what everybody's thinking about today. Jason from Friday the 13th, if you saw that movie and you were, I don't know, you were like me, a fan of horror movies. I was always into those scary movies when I was young, but now I can't stand them. I can't stand them at all. They really scare me. You know, ones that scare me are the ones like the demon possession and crazy people one, the crazy people. They scare me. I don't like those movies. I don't mind like the monsters. I don't mind the zombies so much, even though that today everybody's, we got to worry about a zombie apocalypse because everybody's walking around and hating people and they don't even know why they hate people. They're just told to. They're like, I'm going to hate. It's scary. You know who else was a zombie? It was Jason. Jason died. He was drowned in a lake called Crystal Lake. Now, why is this interesting to me? Because, of course, in the book of Revelation, when Eden is restored, the river of water of life is as crystal. The city is as crystal. And do you know that Jason, the name Jason? Ooh, this is where it's going to get. This is why I need you all to do me a favor. Share the channel around. Tell people about it. Share the show around. Let's get the word out that Friday the 13th, it's there's a lot more to just being superstitious. You know, like there's no 13th floor in a lot of buildings. There's a lot more to this than you know. But of course, everybody remembers Jason and Crystal Lake and how the young man drowned and, you know, he was, you know, at the camp, it was a sleepaway camp. He drowned and he ends up coming back like a year later and he kills a bunch of people. In 1957, supposedly this happened at Camp Crystal Lake. Young Jason Voorhees, he drowned. Two camp counselors were then murdered. In 1962, fires and bad water thwarted the camp's reopening. But now in 1980, Steve Christie finally reopens Camp Crystal Lake with the help of a few new counselors, ignoring the warnings of the crazy old man. And then, of course, Jason comes back from the marsh, comes out, you know, that's scary with the hockey mask. Very scary. Very scary that since I was a child, Friday the 13th freaked me out. And I didn't even know why it freaked me out. Why is that number 13 so spooky, right? We have a lot of constellations. We have the Ophiuchus constellation, which, by the way, no one really knew much about the Ophiuchus constellation until recently. Seems like recently it just kind of came out, you know? And some people say that it was, you know, forgotten. It's actually another horoscope. Like right now, you could look this up. I remember when NASA, which some people say in Hebrew means to deceive, they put out that there's a new horoscope, the 13th, which is a picture of the man wrestling the snake, the dragon. Thor wrestling Jormungandr. We're going to get into some Norse mythology today. I'm interested in them all because I see the same story. And this story is something that you need to know about. Why? Because it's connected to you. It's connected to you, believe it or not. But we need to know the truth. That's why if you want to ask for the truth, no matter what the cost, you know that that's probably the way you get it. You don't just get it by listening to other people. Sure, I'm going to share everything with you, sincerely. There's a reason why that 13th constellation is a man wrestling a dragon, right? There's a reason why Ophiuchus is a thing. Been talking about Ophiuchus for a long time. Friday the 13th, today, everybody is talking about Jason. 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 A lot of people say Jah, right? For God. Jah-man. I worship Yah. Jason. The son of God. Literally, this Jason is the Greek word for Joshua. Yahshua. That's right. Jason. It's the same. It's the Greek pronunciation of Jesus. How about them apples? You know, James, the brother of Jesus, James in Hebrew is Jacob. Right? So there's different ways to say the same name. It's interesting that Camp Crystal Lake, he was drowned in the lake called Crystal. And in the book of Revelation, we find that the water of life, it flows and it's clear as crystal, meaning that it's a pure word flowing from where? The throne of God. Where is that? The throne of God is within you. You're the temple. Down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side, a river stood with the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit. 12 plus 1 is 13. You remember probably the 12 disciples. Well, do you know that Friday the 13th, whether you know this or not, is connected to the Last Supper, to the crucifixion, and to the resurrection? A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people don't know that because they're too busy focusing on the fact that Taylor loves the number 13. And ironically, today in today's news, Jason Kelce says Taylor Swift's talent is ridiculous. And he compares her to Bruce Springsteen. Jason, once again, he led the Argonauts. Hero's journey, hero's adventure. Jason. Here are 13 reasons and things to know about Taylor Swift and her Eras tour. Revelation 13, you know, is a very spooky chapter. It's the chapter where the dragon stands up and on the sands of the sea, some say shores, the sand of the sea, you get this beast that comes out. We just talked about this. It's about the beast being revealed in the world. Has 10 horns, 7 heads, 10 crowns on its horns, and each head a blasphemous name. This is Revelation 13. 13 is a big deal. Now, what's strange about this is anybody here celebrate the old Christmas, you know? Do you go over to the parties and do you have your hot apple cider? It's getting cold here. I should have probably wore the meatball merch hat. By the way, still available. You can get it. It's going to always be available because it's a really cool beanie. It's getting a little cold. You go in, you have the hot cider. Everybody's with the fancy or the ugly sweaters. And it's really nice. And they got hanging in a couple of places. They got some mistletoe hanging. And then you go under that mistletoe and you give a big smooch to somebody that you love. Or you trick somebody, say, oh, look up there. And then you're like, give me a kiss, right? On the cheek, because we're polite. And it wasn't during the virus of the crown, so you could do stuff like that. You could do that stuff anyway. You can't really listen to the fake news all the time. And I'm not saying it's fake. I got to be careful what I say. But I'm saying that a lot of people manipulate a lot of people into doing dumb things. Okay? Mistletoe is, I don't know if you know what mistletoe is, but it's a weed. It's a parasitic weed. It attaches itself to trees and basically robs the very life of that tree. Robs it. Steals it. Parasitically, it kills it. It stunts its growth. Kills off entire branches. Mistletoe, right? You're going to kiss under the mistletoe? Why am I bringing up mistletoe? Because this has to do with a Norse myth that has to do with Loki. And the myth is, who knows who Baldur is? And I may mispronounce this in the live chat. I see a lot of people here already. Do me a favor, hit that like button for me so a lot of people know that we're live. Baldur. I may be pronouncing it wrong because I pronounce everything wrong. Baldur was one of the gods, okay? And this god was pretty awesome. He was like, he was a source of comfort for everyone. Everybody loved him. You know, he was the child of the All-Father. And I believe Queen Frey, some people call her Frey, some people call her Frigg. When I hear the word Frigg, I think of my grandmother. She's like, what the frig are you doing? That's what she used to say, my nanny. I love her so much. What the frig are you doing? Queen Frigg. Okay. So Baldur was this guy and he brought like a lot of love and a lot of peace to, the realm, all the realms. Baldur was the man. And sadly, because of somebody, he ended up dying. Yeah. So as the story goes, okay, and of course you see there's Loki and there's Thor, and there's a picture of Loki at the bottom, kind of smiling, having a good old time. And then above it, you see a depiction of Baldur, this beautiful god of love and light. It's like a picture of Christ, is what it really is. A picture of Christ being, you know, betrayed. What ends up happening is Baldur is, okay, he was so beloved that Queen Frigg went around and was worried that possibly, you know, somebody could come after him and probably seek his death, as the story goes. And that's not a good thing, right? That's not a good thing. So what she does is she goes to all of the living creatures, all the creatures, and she wants them to, you know, promise that we're going to take care of Baldur, right? We love Baldur. We don't want to see any harm come to Baldur. So Queen Fred goes around, goes to the, goes to the snails, goes to every living creature you could think of, every god, goes to everyone and says, will you protect Baldur? Baldur is important. Baldur is the light. Baldur's a picture of Christ. And if we lost Baldur, if Baldur was, say, betrayed, like Christ was betrayed, the whole realm would go into darkness and everyone would, there would be mourning. And this is what happens. Loki comes to this party because Baldur was so revered and that they had this great big party for Baldur. Okay? And everybody was drinking. And all the gods now, because Frigg decided that she was going to bestow upon him like almost invincibility. You know, and like nothing could hurt him. No matter what enemy slung an arrow at him, no matter what came at him. In fact, at this party, all of the gods were all like testing him, hitting him, and doing, they couldn't believe it. But Loki comes in, number 13. He attends the party, and he hides himself as somebody, pretends that he's just somebody else. And he comes up, and you know what he does? He goes right next to the queen. He says, Frigg, why are all the gods beating up Baldur? Everybody loves him. Why is everybody harming this nice young man? I don't understand it. This god. Did you really go to everybody to make sure? Is that the reason? Because what they were doing was they were testing his invincibility. That no matter, nothing could kill him. But Frigg, she left something out. She went and she looked and she thought, what can this one little thing do to the light of all the realms? What can this little weed, this little parasitic weed, and what was that parasitic weed? It was called mistletoe.
Hey, have you seen this new belt? It's made with magnets and it's called a groove belt. You thought I was going to say ring, didn't you? Hey guys, Peter Goodwin here, founder of Groove Life. We've been working on this belt for over a year now, and it's turned out great. I'm going to show you what we did. First off, we bought it.
Mistletoe. Isn't that interesting? So, she didn't get permission from mistletoe because she thought, oh, just that insignificant weed. It could never really harm Baldur. It couldn't do that at all. There's no way that we would even have to worry about Baldur. But little weeds can strangle a tree, especially mistletoe. A little parasitic weed like mistletoe can grab hold of a tree. And in scripture, we know that I see men as trees. Trees are symbolic, right? Because like if you look at your brain, it looks like a bush because it has a lot of branches. You look at the nervous system, it looks like a tree, okay? I see men as trees. You have a little weed coming in there, a little thing, a little annoyance. What's that annoyance that bothers you? What's that little thing that you think, you know what? I can keep, you know, doing that meth. No big deal. I don't know. I'm using examples. I don't even know what meth looks like, by the way, but I know that it destroys lives. I can continue living my life that way. I can continue holding on to bitterness. Not a big deal. But that little weed can be the cause of your death. So what ends up happening is Loki comes in and he sneaks in and he gets this mistletoe and he ends up using it like kind of like a poison. You ever hear of those poison tip frog darts that they have? You know, the poison tip frog start, they put the poison from the back of the frog onto the dart. And I'm not talking about the stuff that like everybody tries to do to you know, get enlightened. I think that they basically are poisoning them. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, but these are like poison darts that are in the Amazon stuff. Think of that. You know, so puts this poison on this arrow and comes into the big party that's going on because after, you know, he talked to the queen and he found out that mistletoe was the only, you know, entity that couldn't harm, that didn't vow not to harm Baldur. Once found that out, he went and he grabbed it. And then he came back to the party. Now, everybody was so incredibly wasted at this point. They were so wasted at this point that he comes in and everybody's having a good old time except for one person. And that's Baldur's drunk, blind brother. Now, you know, in scripture, we talk about the twins a lot. There's two men. There's the carnal man. There's the first Adam. just a picture of like the earthy man. And then there's the second man, the Christed man. The two are in the same bed in Scripture. The two are on the roof in Scripture. The two, there's the earthen carnal man, and then there is the one from heaven above. The Christ in you man, the Christed man. This is all in Scripture, by the way. I'm not making up stories. But ironically, here you have this story of Balder, who is a character very much, you know, just like, we'll say, Jesus, very much. And people will say, oh, well, that would discount the story because that's just a myth. I say these stories only embolden it, because wouldn't God want the story to be told long before you even heard of a man in Nazareth? So, his drunk blind brother, that would be a picture of our kind of our carnal way, like who we think we are. Really wasted, really drunk. He was really down in the dumps. He was suffering. He was having a hard time. Everybody was having a good time. And Loki decides to use that little weed, that little insignificant thing, that little parasitic thing that'll attach itself to you and strangle the life out of you and have his very own brother, because he's too blind to know better that he should get, you know, shouldn't touch that poisoned arrow. And he's too drunk to know better. And he's too grumpy and miserable that nothing's going his way to know that he could probably, you know, fix his state. But instead, what does he do? He takes that arrow and smashes it smack dab in the middle of his chest, and he dies. And the light goes out, and everyone in all the realms, according to this mythology, feel that loss. The same thing that happened to Christ when Christ was crucified, put to death at a place called Golgotha, which in the Hebrew tongue, by the way, means the place of the skull. It's no wonder the way, the truth, and the life was put to death at the place of the skull in the natural, so that we can understand the way to truly live your life was put to death in our thinking. But the good news is that Christ can rise again. So he ends up, Balder ends up down in hell. Now there is a strong hero. I think, I forgot the guy's name, but this strong hero, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I love Balder so much. I'm going to stand. I should have wore the God's championship. I love him so much. I'm going to go down and I'm going to make a deal. I'm going to make a deal with the Queen of Hell. Okay. If you watch the Marvel movies, you probably remember the movie Ragnarok. Okay. You remember how Loki and Thor team up and they battle this gigantic, you know, serpent snake, and the whole thing's devoured. Ragnarok is what ends up saving Loki, because Loki ends up, you know, this little trickster, he ends up getting caught. So the hero comes down, talks to the Queen of Hell, and the Queen of Hell says, okay, you prove to me that everybody, every creature loves. It's kind of like, you want Balder back into the world? Prove it. Show me that people actually miss him. So he goes around and he finds everybody. But there's one little holdout. And you know who that holdout was? It was that trickster again. It's Loki. He dressed up as a giant. He pretended to be a giant. Like, it would be like a mover and shaker in industry today. Could be somebody that you think is like the most powerful person around. Could be that. It's really not. It's not the most powerful person. It's Loki disguised as. Now, Loki, once again, a lot of people compare it to, you know, Satan. They do. They compared it to. But you got to understand that, you know, every one of these stories has its place. So he pretends to be this giant, and he ends up getting found out, and then he ends up paying for it. He ends up being, you know, latched to a poisonous stake and kind of cast like the devil's cast for 1,000 years and chained. Loki ends up with chained to a poisonous stake who continually drips venom onto his head. And that's the end of that story right there. But the mistletoe, all of this has to do with the fact that Loki was number 13. He was the 13th guest. Makes you looking at mistletoe a whole new way, if you know what I'm talking about. It makes you think, perhaps you shouldn't be kissing under that. But what does the mistletoe kiss remind you of now? After hearing the story, it reminds you of another brother that betrayed a son of light, Judas, where he betrays with a kiss, which is, you know, This is the most brutal thing, where they're at the Last Supper. Now, why do I think that this is interesting is the fact that we just had the Olympics, and at the Olympics, of course, they depicted the Last Supper, their version. It was a sight to behold. But Judas was the actual 17th. I'm sorry, 17th. He was the 13th. And when you start to understand that these things, you know, these stories are not to be taken lightly. Like there's a connection to this story and you. In the Bible, the Last Supper hosted 13 guests, including Jesus and his 12 apostles. That's what most stories say. This was the day before his crucifixion. Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, was the 13th guest, which makes one think, wow, you know, 13 sounds so far very, very unlucky to me. You got to tell me if you think that 13 doesn't freak you out, but it sounds a little unlucky to me. Now, you have to understand that I want to go into the story a little bit, just so you get a little bit more of an understanding of what this really means, okay? Because the Last Supper, okay, that we understand very, it had to do with the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And unleavened bread is a picture of a person who's lost all of their pride. They're about to lay their life down, okay? Because leaven, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, it's being puffed up, it's being lifted up with pride. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is why you eat unleavened bread. Bread is significant, it's like the Word of God. So humble truth, these are the things that we're looking for. And at the Last Supper, on the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, where do you want us to make preparations? Where do you want to eat this Passover? And he said, go into a city. There's a certain man. You tell him, my teacher says the appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house. So the disciples did this. Jesus had directed them and he prepared the Passover. When the evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Number 13, because it's 12 plus him. One of you will betray me. And then they're very sad, and they began to say to him, who is it? Surely you don't mean me. Jesus replied, the one who dips his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written. But woe unto the man that betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Jesus, after Jesus saying this, Judas, the one who would betray him, says, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. And Jesus answered, you said so. While they were eating, he actually says, now go and do what you must do, which is interesting because he knew. But it's interesting, if you look at the picture, who was it that betrayed Christ? If Christ in you is the hope of glory, who would be the one that would betray Christ? Who's the drunk blind brother that betrayed Boulder? Because he was manipulated by Loki. Be like a picture of our carnal mind, our carnal state. Because all of these, we'll say all of these disciples, many, many papers have been written about this. They represent different parts of our walk and different attributes to us spiritually. This is like a moment right now where I feel like Friday the 13th is significant for a lot of reasons, not just because of, you know, the Ophiuchus sign that appeared, which said, you know, time is up. This is the day that we're in. Not just because of that. Not just because it's like supposedly the most unlucky day in the world. Not just because the Knights Templar on October 13th, 1307, which is ironic because, you know what, I scheduled my show for 1:30, which I think is so cool. I didn't even think about that, but that's 13 too. We've been taught and conditioned to be so scared of stuff, because we've been showed that it's actually so dark and so bad. But yet, if it wasn't for Judas's actions, people wouldn't know the story. This is the story of us as well. And Friday the 13th is like the moment where, you know, you have to decide whether or not you're going to go and you're going to find those little, you know, little problems that are eating away at you, the little mistletoe, and you're going to get rid of it. Or it's the day where you got to go to hell itself and you got to take on, you know, and you got to say, you know what, I want to bring Christ back into this world, and I'm willing to show you how important it is by going around and sharing my faith, sharing my love, sharing my heart. This is an important day. Friday the 13th is not a scary time. I know that all of the occultists are into it, and I get it. But, you know, just because it's all spooky to everybody else doesn't mean it has to be spooky to us. We can actually see it a different way. We can see what one little thing can do to betray you. One little thing. This was a lesson for me because it gave me a chance to kind of look inside too. So maybe it's not the most unlucky day there is. Maybe it's probably one of the best. I hope that that was an entertaining and enlightening and eye-opening show, and I hope that you have now smashed the like button, you've shared the channel around, you've made sure that you're subscribed, and you've gotten yourself some of the merch. You see, you get yourself a nice God's Champion mug or a Uranus Planet mug. You get yourself I Am a Witness. It's like the holidays, right? People buy things for Christmas and Hanukkah. I don't know how many different holidays there are. I don't have a calendar that has all of the holidays, but I'm sure that, you know, you buy stuff for people. Why don't you get them something great? You know, get them a God's Champion mug. Get them a Uranus is a Planet mug. Get them a meatball hat. This is the thing. This is the thing. Ethan wears this out. All of his friends now, they think it's so cool. They want it. You can be a meatball too. Get yourself in the description of the video. All you got to do is you go in, you click, you know, that little part down there, and then it opens up, and then you click more, and then boom, there it is. Click on a link. It'll bring you right there. I even have like a meatball link waiting for you. And if you want to get yourself the copy of The Calling, the novel, get the best novel ever for a holiday gift, give it out. Go to Amazon.com for The Calling, and the links are in the description. Everything's in the description of the video. You want to support, that's the way to do it. I love all of you. I hope that this was fun. It's out there. This is why, like I say, I don't go to barbecues a lot because people think I'm a little kooky. So I wear the meatball hat and people understand. All right. Love each and every one of you. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.